Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Andy's Open Door. Kelly Elkins here, standing in for Andy this week while he's away on some well-deserved time away. Really excited for our program today. My guest is Dr. Bob Carlson, CMO for Nordex, and really has some great information to share with you about a really important initiative that impacts not just Nordex, but our entire health system today. But before we get into that conversation, I want to say good morning to Caroline and have her remind us of what we need to do as we get going with Andy's Open Door.
Good morning, Kelly. We have a great program today. Dr. Carlson's going to be speaking a little bit about the Epic Beaker program, which is something that I knew nothing about until we were preparing for this program. So I think it's going to be really great and informative for everybody. If you do have questions for Dr. Carlson, for Kelly, please go ahead and put those in the chat. Use your first and last names and your pronouns. I'm only going to use first names on the program. And if you do have a unique first name that you'd prefer I not read aloud, just let me know. I won't do that, but we don't take anonymous questions in the chat. And of course, we've got a few email questions that have come in as well. But we do have a lot to talk about. So, Kelly, I'm going to hand it back to you.
Great. Well, again, so excited to have Dr. Bob Carlson with us this morning on Andy's Open Door. Dr. Bob, who's, as he is affectionately known to some of us and definitely throughout Nordex, as I mentioned, serves as the Senior Medical Director and Chief Medical Officer for Nordex, and really excited to have Bob not only talk to us about Epic Beaker today, but also learn a little bit more about Nordex and the importance of Nordex to our health system. So, welcome to the program, Bob.
Thank you, Kelly.
Excellent. So, Bob, maybe before we jump into Nordex and Epic Beaker, maybe share a little bit about your background. What's your background, and how did you get to Nordex?
So I'm a pathologist. I came to Maine Health 4.5 years ago already.
Wow.
Yeah, I came from upstate New York, worked for Rochester Regional Health, and prior to that, Marshfield Clinic in Wisconsin. And I came here because of the opportunity, the stage that Maine Health was at, and integrating the opportunity to take the laboratory system to the next level and work with just some fantastic people.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we're glad to have you.
Thanks.
And Bob and I share a love of the Green Bay Packers, so we both spent time in Wisconsin, obviously. But glad to have you here, Bob. So, Bob, again, before we get into Epic Beaker, which is a huge initiative, really impactful to our organization, maybe speak a little bit, though, just about Nordex as a part of Maine Health. Maybe describe what you see as the impact that Nordex has on the system and how it really connects across all of our sites of care.
So laboratories provide just an incredible amount of information important for patient care. And we have multiple laboratories throughout the system. Each one historically has operated a little bit differently with different reference ranges. And one of the things that we've accomplished over the last several years is to really standardize that information and really work to embed that better into the medical record. Nordex is a horizontally integrated service line for Maine Health. It acts as the managing arm of all laboratory services. And I think one of the changes in the last few years is Maine Health has developed more system infrastructure. It provides an opportunity for us to really have a seat at that table and really work together to better implement laboratory information into patient care.
Great. Well, speaking of laboratory information, let's talk about Epic Beaker.
All right.
Obviously, it's a major initiative for Nordex, and I think maybe let's just start with the basics. What is Epic Beaker?
So Epic Beaker is a laboratory information system that is part of the Epic Medical Health Record family. And one of the biggest changes that Beaker provides is that it's embedded inside of Epic instead of sitting on the outside looking in. A laboratory information system is really a vital tool set that allows laboratories to manage the information from the time it's ordered all the way to the time it's reported. It has interfaces to all the laboratory information. It's critical for the quality control processes, and it's a very dynamic and now required piece of technology that allows us to provide a level of service that everybody's become dependent on.
Mm-hmm. So why is it important that we move to Epic Beaker for Nordex?
So our current system was actually first installed in 1995. That is almost 30 years ago. And so a lot has changed in that. And as was typical for that time, the software tools were adapted to the way that MaineHealth and Nordex did the work. And so that required a lot of customization. And as the new updates came available, it became more and more difficult to put those patches in place to the point where we really couldn't sustain the level of effort or cost to support the existing LIS system. That really led to one of the prime directives that we have, and that is rather than adapt the software to the way we do things, is we were going to adapt our processes to fit the standard Beaker protocol. So in addition to the heavy lift of converting to an LIS system, we also went through a huge effort to standardize our processes.
Excellent. So when we think about Epic Beaker as a platform, obviously it is grounded in lab services and a big part of the Nordex operation, but who else does Epic Beaker impact in MaineHealth?
Everybody who uses lab information will be impacted, and I think there's a couple of really important changes that people should be aware of. Number one, being embedded inside the Epic family, I think that information will be much more available and much more standard. We have a single source of truth rather than having various information systems that pull from various independent databases. That's much more integrated, which will provide a better service. In addition, with a common medical record number, we'll be able to have better access to other laboratory information from outside of MaineHealth when those patients are seen within MaineHealth, rather than have to look for faxes or paper records. That'll be embedded inside of the Epic record as well.
Excellent. So not only will everyone who interacts with the patients in clinical information feel the benefits of Epic Beaker, it really benefits our patients as well by allowing greater flow of that lab and pathology information into their record, right?
Exactly. And the other thing that's been going on behind the scenes, you know, when you think about, you know, having our processes mapped to the standard Beaker way, there are some things that we did 100 different ways, mm-hmm. right? And so we had to take that 100 ways and try to collapse it down to a handful. And so there's been a lot of work with that. That allows us to improve the training, that allows us to move staff where we need it, and it allows for a better consistent information. Behind the scenes, we've standardized all our reference ranges, so when Beaker goes live, you'll see a better integration of the information regardless of where that lab test was done, in a hospital or in the main lab in Scarborough.
Yeah. So Bob, big question, big project, lots of work, underlying work sounds like that has gone into this. When will Epic Beaker go live?
So it will go live on June 1st, 2024, and there's a lot of us that are looking forward to that day.
Yeah, very exciting. Yeah. And as I mentioned, huge team that's been a part of this, right? Not just the team members in the laboratory, our pathologists, but our IT team has been instrumental in getting this off the ground. Anyone you want to particularly recognize as you think about how the groups have been working together to bring this project to fruition?
So, you know, I don't think there's been a person in the lab system or outside of it that really hasn't been involved in this. To take and standardize requires such a high level of collaboration and cooperation. You know, change is hard, mm-hmm. but I am so proud of our teams. And I think groups that I think would deserve special mention would be our best practice teams, which have representation from really around our lab system, tasked with just the process of trying to pick that one or two standard process. Our technical quality team, led by Julie Correll, has just done a yeoman's job leading that charge and filling in some of the gaps. You know, an IT effort of this magnitude just requires a lot of dedicated, hardworking people, and we're fortunate to have an IT staff that has a lot of lab knowledge to help with that. And then I would be remiss if I didn't mention our spectrum pathology partners that have been really going above and beyond the extra meetings, the extra time to review this information, and their knowledge base has just been instrumental in helping us get through this.
Yeah. So Bob, we're June 1st is not that far away.
It's not.
The teams at Nordex are deeply involved with this, and I'm sure will have their own elements of training. But will there be training required for our frontline care team members as it relates to Epic Beaker, and when could they expect that training to occur?
Sure. You know, our lab staff will begin training in earnest on April 1st, and that training will be made available to other care team members early in May. And there's a number of groups that have been formed to try to reach out to specific groups of people and practitioners as well. Some of the things that we want to make sure that people are aware of is that with Beaker, there'll be better opportunities to label samples with a tool called Rover. We currently use SoftID, and the problem with SoftID is it sits outside of Epic Beaker, so it's a little bit clunky and cumbersome. We're going to be moving to a new tool called Rover, which is much more important and easier to use and label those samples right. Beaker will allow us to track samples and identify missed samples much quicker. But also part of that standardization is it means that we're going to have, where possible, one way of kind of tracking and labeling samples. So there will be some changes, but that training will be taking place early in May, as I mentioned.
Excellent. Well, really exciting work. It will be very excited for June 1st. I feel like there'll be a huge celebration happening throughout the organization on that day, and definitely for our Nordex care team members. But thank you for sharing a little bit more about the initiative with us on Andy's Open Door. And I'm sure many of you, as you've been listening to Bob, might have some specific questions. So make sure to get those into Caroline. And speaking of questions, Caroline, I think we'll toss it back to you.
Ready
and
for
see
questions?
What's coming
Perfect.
In.
Yeah. So yes, as Kelly said, please put those questions in the chat. First one, can you speak a little bit, Bob, to what kind of changes a patient might see once we get to Epic Beaker? I think we, you know, you talked a lot about some of the things that's really going to benefit the care team's ability to care for patients, but will patients see any differences themselves? Will they notice a change?
So probably one of the biggest changes they'll see is the more efficient process of collecting samples. Right now, some of our phlebotomists have to look at three different applications to try to find the patient, get the orders. Now we're going to have one source of truth and one process that the phlebotomist or a medical assistant can look at to identify the patient, the orders that are done. So that's probably the biggest piece. Other than that, it should be relatively transparent, other than a more timely tracking of information, availability of that information.
So in other words, it's going to feel good for patients because
they're
just going to have a better experience,
yeah.
But no one's cheese got moved for them. That's great.
Right.
So we do have some email questions here. Vicky wanted to know, Kelly, whether what she calls the outdated terminology of medical secretaries will get a title change to administrative blank. Because she says there are administrative titles for administrative assistant, administrative specialist, support assistant, team specialist. She said she feels like medical secretaries don't have a ladder, but admins do, and she'd love to see that. Can you speak to that a little?
Sure, absolutely. Great question. And you've actually identified something that many of us have been focusing on over the past couple of years, which is we have a lot of different types of titles, and of course, ladders of titles within certain job descriptions. And there's a significant initiative going on within our HR team pool of work called job harmonization, where we are looking at different job positions and categories and looking at the titles to say how many variations of that title exist, what is the right titling, and then of course if there should be a ladder associated with a position, what's the right ladder and what would that title be within that ladder, and make that standard and more aligned across MaineHealth. Because today, due to our nature of having local health systems function more independently in the past, and now we function more as a unified health system, it's important to have alignment in those areas. So the short answer to that is yes, that will be evaluated. It, of course, is being evaluated with many, many other job descriptions and titles, as you can imagine. So I don't have the specific date of when we'll make a decision on the title of medical secretary and administrative type of positions, but do know that work will be a part of that job harmonization initiative, and more information will come if you are in a role where title is going to be aligned or maybe tweaked a little to achieve the outcome of that initiative.
Sounds good. We also have a question from Mark about some recent announcements around regional integration between Maine Medical Center and Southern Maine Healthcare, another big initiative coming forward in June. And Mark wanted to know what kind of efficiencies we could expect by eliminating redundancies in that regional integration of Maine Medical Center and Southern Maine Healthcare, and also how much savings we might anticipate.
Oh, great question, Mark. And first of all, the regional integration effort has many, many different components and work streams. And you can learn more about that through the intranet site for the Southern region. There's a specific outline of the different work groups and the areas of opportunity that the team will be taking advantage of through integration. What you're not going to see on that is a specific call out around redundancy or a cost savings number, but we know inherently, due to the work we're doing, we will see greater efficiencies and reduce or eliminate some redundancy in process as we become more aligned and in some instances standardized in how we do work processes across the Southern region as a combined entity of Maine Medical Center as one large hospital with many locations. And as we think about that work, one particular example would be as we look at our credentialed medical staff. So by our medical staff having credentials and being on medical staff for all of the sites, they can much more easily transfer the care of a patient from one of our inpatient units to another. Today, if a physician has a patient in an inpatient unit at our Southern Maine Healthcare Biddeford campus and they want to transfer them to, say, a higher level of care of a nursing unit at Maine Medical Center at the Bramhall campus in Portland, they actually have to discharge that patient, activate a transfer, and that patient has to be readmitted when they get to the Bramhall campus. With a combined license and a combined medical staff, this is simply just a department transfer. And that makes the care and the transition of that patient much simpler, both for the patient, but also for the care team and the provider who's initiating that care. So that's but one example. But I imagine there are going to be countless of those examples that are going to continue to emerge as our work teams are coming together within the Southern region. So stay tuned. Britt Cruz, our new regional president of the Southern region, I know is going to be doing regular communications about the integration work, areas of opportunity that's being identified, and action being taken to take advantage of those opportunities.
Okay, so those of you who are watching, I know sometimes it takes you a little while to get warmed up, but we don't actually have many email questions today. So now is the time if you want to get a question in for Bob or Kelly. This next question came in. We had to do a little phone a friend. And because it is a bit of a detailed answer, I'm going to read the question and the answer. It came in from Jacob. Great question. Jacob asked, in reaction to the last program, given the strong presence and anticipated growth in medical education at Maine Health, what opportunities are available for trainees to learn more about hospital leadership activities and decisions that often affect the frontline staff? We did reach out to our guest on the last program, who was our Vice President of Medical Education, Linda Chaudron, about this. And Linda said many residency programs do have leadership electives. And she also said that Graduate Medical Education just launched the Resident and Fellow Clinician and Leaders Academic Track that also talks a lot about leadership. And there are regular town halls that residents can attend to have exposure to leadership and learn a little bit more about current issues impacting the system. She said, if you have direct questions about leadership that you want to reach out to her about, please feel free to just shoot her an email. She'd be happy to talk to you about it. So that is the answer for that one. And then we have one more email question from Troy. And Troy asks, I understand the importance of the engagement survey in striving to be our best. Since we all play an important role in the engagement process, why is it not part of everyone's evaluation?
Oh, great question, Troy. And one, I applaud you for recognizing that we all own engagement, right? Every care team member is critical in how everyone is engaged in our organization, whether care team or physician, APP. Today, our current performance evaluation process does not have specific requirements around engagement performance for all of our care team members. Some of our leaders do have some elements of performance and engagement as part of their annual review process and goals that we set for them in leadership. But I think it's a wonderful opportunity for us to explore that going forward, further for the organization to say, how do we enhance our annual evaluation process and focus in on some of those key areas and goals that we have as an organization, and how do we include that as part of that conversation on an annual basis. So thanks for raising it up. It's not a formal part today for all care team, definitely for leadership, but something for us to consider in the future.
We do have a couple questions in the chat now. One from Darren asking about regional integration. Wanted to know if there were plans to integrate other hospital licenses in the coastal and mountain regions.
Oh, thanks, Darren. Not at this time. You know, we had a unique opportunity in the southern region, and this opportunity was identified several years ago, actually, to say, would it make sense for Southern Maine Healthcare and Maine Medical Center to do a true hospital licensure integration? Within the coastal and mountain regions, you know, we have many of our critical access hospitals, and there is a lot of benefit that we provide to the community through that designation, and we receive a lot of benefit and value in terms of how we participate in certain programs with Medicare and, of course, some of our other state Medicaid programs. So for that reason, right now, we don't have any licensure integrations beyond the southern region kind of in sight and top of mind. However, if that were to ever change, of course, like we've done with the southern region, we would educate everyone about the why we would do that, and the process and timeline. But as of today, no plans to do that with the exception of our southern region partners.
And then Laura wanted to know if we would consider ever doing 4-day work weeks, or perhaps nine-hour days and then every other Friday off.
Well, Lauren, I would, point everyone back to our philosophy now at Maine Health around flexible work. Obviously, depending on the role and function, four-day work weeks might be a possibility for some care team members, depending on the role, the work they do, the nature of their job. But for others, it may not be possible because we are a 24/7 enterprise meeting patient care needs. What we have embraced here at Maine Health is the philosophy around flexible work, which allows our care team member and their leaders to really think about what are the options within the area you work in, the needs that you are meeting, the role you're providing, to say, can that work be done in a different way? Can it be done on a different schedule? Can it be done virtually? And so my encouragement for you is, if you think that's an opportunity for the department or division you're in, to really talk with your leader about that and see if that may make sense. But in terms of doing that as a matter of policy for all care team members, it would be really difficult to do that given everyone's role functions very differently and has different interdependencies on it. But excellent question.
That is what we have for questions today. So, Bob, thank you so much for being with us. And I know you recognized your team when you were talking to Kelly earlier, that just talking about all the teams involved in making Beaker a success. And Kelly, I believe you have, I count three really great recognitions. So why don't you take it away with those?
Excellent. Thank you, Caroline. We do. And the first one that I want to talk about is the Penn Bay ED Mentorship Program. The Penn Bay Emergency Department recently held a celebration and check-in for its mentorship program. The program, headed by nurse Kara Moore and co-chaired by clinical nurse educator Jenna Twitchell, began last spring. The goal is to strengthen the team, ease the transition from orientation, and reduce staff turnover by pairing newer hires with experienced care team members who can help them network, learn workplace culture, and develop new skills. Penn Bay Chief Nursing Officer Ellen Leone says that Kara and Jenna are wonderful partners on this mentorship initiative and talented team members who exemplify our values. Kara and Jenna feel that the program has been a positive experience for both mentees and mentors and helps maintain that sense of community in the emergency department. Our next recognition is for Marissa Rader. Marissa is a health training specialist on the Diabetes Prevention and Control team within the Center for Health Improvement. She serves as a coach for the National Diabetes Prevention Program evidence-based self-management classes. A recent graduate shared this recognition. This group, under the mentorship of Marissa, evolved into an inspirational support group for me and many others. Initially, I was skeptical as to the benefits of attendance and eventually found myself eager to meet as often as meetings were scheduled. I also discovered I had support from this group motivating me between meetings. I thought about my group every time I chose stairs over the elevator or drove past a fast food restaurant without caving into a craving. Marissa was the perfect mentor as she was extremely well-informed, intelligent, and compassionate. She was also an exceptionally encouraging and inspirational coach to each of us. I feel that she grew to sincerely care about each of us, which led to our caring about each other. Thank you to Marissa. Thanks to Marissa and all the health training specialists for the positive impact they are having on the lives and health of our patients. And lastly, I want to share this wonderful patient comment that came in regarding our Midcoast Medical Group practice in Bath. I am so impressed with how I am seen immediately upon checking in and when I have blood work in the lab. But I don't feel like staff are rushing or cutting my visit short. The lab tech Gilbert is one of the best I have ever had. Normally it is a nightmare to find a vein, and he found one right away. I used to have such anxiety going to the doctor in labs, but this positive experience has eased my nerves. Amazing. Whatever you are doing, continue doing it. So I want to thank you again for joining us on Andy's Open Door this morning. Thanks again to Bob for coming and educating everyone on the Epic Beaker Initiative and a little bit more about Nordex and its role in Maine Health. And next, Andy's Open Door will be held on March 6th. You'll also see a fill-in host that day. Our Chief Medical and Transformation Officer, Chris Thompson, will be filling in. And his guest will be Lizzie Mulcahy from our telehealth team. So please make sure you stay tuned, and I hope everyone has a great day.